This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning, everyone. I'm nervous, as you can see. I admire the courage, the chapel. Dean Swift invited me as a speaker. Someone non-English speaker, English-speaking guy, and I try to speak to a bunch of theological professors. Well, I'll try my best. About 1.5 years ago, before I came to CIU, I told the elder board in my church that it's time for me to move on. And I told them, you guys need to actively search for a pastor. That probably was before CIU created the position I'm holding. So I resigned from the pastoral position, not because I did not like serving as a pastor, only because I cherished a vision of theological education. All I wanted to do is to serve God for the church, especially in China, to train the pastor and the co-workers in China with sound biblical knowledge, and meanwhile find some ways to support my family. How will all these pieces be puzzled together? I honestly didn't know until one day someone informed me there was an opening in a university called CIU in South Carolina. Before then, all we know about South Carolina, it's just in the south of the North Carolina. So my wife and I had 3 days of fast and pray, as we usually do before any major decisions. So we came for an interview in late March, early April, and I was very nervous and talking a northern Yankee speed. And Dr. Luke reminded me time and time again, slow down, you need to slow down. This is South Carolina. Well, another source of my anxiety came from the fact that my competitor was a Princeton graduate, PhD from Princeton. And I happened to know him very well. The hope in my heart dwindles much faster than the hair on my head. Until one day I prostrate myself on the church floor and pray to the Lord. Suddenly, there was almost like a bump from the floor into my chest, and a clear message uttered to me. Say, get up, no need to pray, it has been given to you. Next day, May the 1st, 11:30, I received a phone call from Professor John, and now I'm here. Till this day, I am still not sure whether you guys made the right decision. But I certainly admire you guys, the courage to turning down a Princeton candidate. That must feel good. And I hope you guys didn't do it only for that feeling. Well, I'm very amazed how CIU prepare the Chinese program in such a solid manner. It's like a rocket being prepared by key figures like the provost, Dr. Luke, Dr. Harvey, and other key leaders. The initial enrollment was more than 100. We have about a lot of students seven ministers now in China. It was about half of them working very hard with the hope to get the certificate and degree eventually, and some of them will come on CIU campus to meet their residential requirements. And you will have a lot of occasion to practice your Chinese. So I hope that you start to learn and to show your southern hospitality to these foreign Chinese students. And I'm now going to China this Sunday, November the 2nd, to visit CIU students and to recruit more students and to search for qualified instructors and committed on-site recruiters. So some of you may know that China is still under the regime of the Communist Party and very hostile to missionaries. We can see some of the... This is on towards your left. This is my pastor in Shouwang Church, who has been house arrested for about 3.5 years now. And this is the image that they were deprived of the opportunity of worshiping in a building they purchased, and they have to go outside and worship outdoor in the storm. I thought this is quite a good image of the church in China right now. And the other side you can see, I visited them last November to encourage them. And I got to sneak in because they were house arrested. And you can next, without explanation, probably you guys will never understand this picture. This is outside the doorway of that pastor, of my pastor. And you can see the chairs and all these hot, thick jackets and all like the bed-shaped chair. It was a security officer guiding them 24/7 for 3.5 years already. So this is the condition and situation in China right now. And in case you don't know, we have another picture about this happened only about 2 months ago. The cathedrals were razed down in China, and also lots of crosses on the top of the cathedrals were toppled down. So this is still China economically doing probably very well, but spiritually still a long way to go. There is a custom if the security officer want to warn you or to threaten you, and they will invite you for tea. So pray for me so that I may have the confidence when they invited me to tea and to tell them, hey, you know what? I came from Boston, but I'm not a member of Tea Party. I like tea, but do you have lobsters too? And there is another purpose for my trip, is to prepare for this CIU key leaders to visit China sometime next year. And can you guys keep a secret? Or else you may lose your president. At least for a while. Some of you guys sound like happy about that idea. Well, if God forbids we do get into trouble, can some of you send us some takeout? And don't forget the fortune cookies. I love them. Used to be my daily devotion. But please do not send these cheesy quotes like, you will be very successful in your next life. Instead, please send, insert some Bible verses. That is the pastors in Cultural Revolution. They were sent to the labor camp. How they survive by remembering the Bible and by cutting the Bible in small pieces and put it under the pillow. And I hope that you can insert Bible verses like this one, next one. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. In case you guys do not know, this is the passage I'm going to preach from, and we theological faculties do use texts to preach. Oh, that meant to be a joke. So this is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And then the angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man who is awakened from his sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold with its bowl on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it with seven sprouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on the top of it. Also, two olive trees by it, and one by the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side." Then I said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it." I chose this passage in order to remind myself about the essential spirit of our ministry. Oftentimes, we launch a new program like the Chinese Seminary, and we count the resources we have, how much donations the donor gave, and how much smart guys we have on the team. As indicated in the passage, we count the might and the power. If you take Dr. Byers' course on prophets, he will tell you might means wisdom, some kind of well-refined, well-calculated power, like sage, like valor with moral strength, like that of the personified wisdom in the last chapter of the Proverbs. While the power refers to some sheer power, crude power, maybe like that of Samson. So, refined power, valor, or crude power, might, strength, neither one of them is reliable. Oftentimes, we calculate the resources at our hand, and we calculate the challenges we face. In this text, it was referred as the great mountains before Zerubbabel. So, we calculate just like a shrewd businessman. Before long, we turn our mission into business. Gradually, the spirit of business may occupy the inner core of our temple. we were tossed in between fears, anxieties, the scarcity of resources, ups and downs of the market, forgetting that the center of our cosmology is not some cold natural law or merciless fate, but a personal God with moral character. Sometimes the education, what the education does to you is that make you think you are civilized, you are educated, you are autonomous, you are independent. You just know the regulation, know the law, and you maneuver around the rule and the law, and you are well, okay. All we Christians abide by all the regulations, all the school rules, get all A's, but forgot the center of our mission, the center of our business is to please God. Because God is a personal God. We Christians live in a cosmology that's different from the naturalistic worldview. God favors and he disfavors. God can be pleased and he can be displeased. Don't take me wrong that I have nothing against businessmen. To be honest with you, I sometimes prefer to do business with business folks because they do their job thoroughly. Because they know if they do not do it thoroughly, their business will not survive. But we Christians sometimes cut corners in the name of divine mercy. If our righteousness does not surpass that of the businessman's, it might be difficult for us to serve effectively in the kingdom of God. Yes, we are in a special kind of business, the business of theological education, the spiritual business, the kingdom business. That doesn't give us any excuse to be lazy or sluggish. Rather, we should work in a spirit that is more fervent than of the businessman, because we serve the Almighty King, and his kingdom is our kingdom too. There was a Presbyterian missionary named John Lydon Stord, who served in China for about 50 years. He was born in Hangzhou, Zhejiang province, east part of China. He once served as American ambassador to China before he was driven out by Chairman Mao with a declaration entitled, "Farewell, Lydon Stord." Maybe some of you do not. You just look in the Google and you will know this famous speech. And it signifies China's breaking off diplomatic relationship with America. But before serving as ambassador, Lydon Stord was invited to be the first president of Yanjing University, Yanjing Dashui. And he contributed greatly to establish that most prestigious. Slip of tongues. Most prestigious universities in China. And it was a Christian university like CIU. And to be a president of a university means most of his time he was spent in fundraising. I do not know about you, but I don't want to be in that position. It's a tough job, guys. Leighton Stewart once described the feeling of his fundraising business. He said, whenever I see beggars in the street, I consider myself one of them. You and I may not understand that kind of feeling, but I think the chancellor and the president of the university, they might. One thing for sure is that these leaders sacrifice a lot for their institute. With the money they raised, the students may be funded with scholarship and also build a beautiful campus like this. Beautiful campus. I have a slide. Hello? Yes, okay, thank you. This is the campus that was built with the fund Leighton Stewart raised. And a couple of CIU students here sitting with you, including me, happened to study in that beautiful campus. And sometimes I walk on the gravel path of the campus, and I thought, cannot help but thinking, this Leighton Stewart walked here, he worked here, and he is my brother in the Lord. And if I happen to meet him, I want to hug him, like hug some of our leaders, fundraisers here in this university. Leighton Stewart's last will was that his bone ash may be buried beside that lake. A wish that has not yet been fulfilled. Well, I believe to keep an institute of this size running is a tough business. And Leighton Stewart lived during a turbulent period of time, courting wars between superpowers like Japan, former Soviet Union, and America. Just as Prophet Zechariah and Prophet Haggai, the returnees from Babylonian exile tried to rebuild the temple, only to find that resources were too little and obstacles were too many. They fumbled around for support, only to find themselves like beggars without too much resources. Neither were there too many people who want to help them. The temple rebuilding project had to stop until Prophet Zechariah and Prophet Haggai started to preach the message of revival, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. It is true that we do not have too much resources and the difficulties are many, but the Spirit of the Lord is with us. That is the condition of Chinese Seminary in CIU. Yet oftentimes we do God's business with our own might and with our own power, as if we do not need His Spirit. In the past 3 years, the Chinese Church in New England organized a gospel camp for those international students from China. And our church took the lead organizing the event. And I was so nervous, crushed by heavy responsibilities, and my heart was full of fear. What if I delivered a sloppy message and not many students came to the Lord? What if all those participating churches were frustrated and disappointed? And on the way, driving from the hotel to the campsite, a message welled up from the bottom of my heart, asking me, why do you worry that much? That is my business. And that day, the message I preached was very sloppy, but many came to the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. About a month ago, on this pulpit, Reverend Jonathan Schaefer used an illustration. Someone lived a poor life without knowing the land she owns is an abundant oil field. But today we have the last picture, last image. See, the image that illustrates the vision of Zechariah. We as Christians like the menorah with oil abundant beside, within us, overflowing us, and with pipes that conducting the oil from those two olive trees. It is an image of living supply that will never be exhausted. The oil is not under our feet. It is in our lamp. The oil does not need to be refined. It is ready to use. And this resource of oil can never be exhausted. And the Spirit of our Lord is within us. He provides us constantly, and He gives us life, even eternal life. This is the image of Zerubbabel and Joshua, but I think it's true for every bit of every one of us who has the Spirit of God in us. I often wonder which one is the right kind of cosmology. The northern, cold, cool, secular, immutable, scientific, apathetic version of God cosmology? Or the southern, hospitable, warm, relational, passionate, personal version of God? And I believe you guys got it right. Our God is a person full of love. Sometimes even with jealousy, He favors and disfavors. He can be pleased or be displeased. The core of our business is to love Him fervently, to be connected with Him constantly, because He and He alone is the source of might, the source of power, the source of provision, the source of security. He is a rock, the foundation, and the banner of our victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this university and for everybody sitting here. Not by human word, nor by human wisdom. It is by Your Spirit, the living Spirit. So, Lord, refresh our first love. If someone in among us has not yet experienced that first love, give them that first love, oh Lord, because You are a divine person full of love. And some of us already forget about the first love. Refresh us, remind us so that we in the innermost of our temple will be constantly being connected to You. You are the source of all might and power. Lord, we love You and thank You and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.